reward you openly. God bless you in Jesus' name. Please take your seats. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's, you know, this year is our year of what? Of go. It's our year of go. And boy, are we going. The Bible says when the going gets tough, what does the tough do? The tough gets going. When the going gets tough, the tough gets going. Amen. And so we are going this year into all the world to preach the gospel. Amen. To do the Father's bidding, to do kingdom business. And we're already out in the nations of the earth. Pastor Joe is out in America. And I know that she's going places. Amen. And, you know, her book is being published in the States. And so God is doing awesome things in us and through us this year. Amen. So this year is our year. So turn to your neighbor and say, this year is my year. This year is my year. It's my year of go. And I'm going in his name. Amen. Praise Jesus. And you know, it's so wonderful. And I just remember when Pastor Paul brought that word, you know, right at the beginning of the year, tail end of last year, beginning of this year, saying it's our year of go, you know, the prophetic and the apostolic anointing that is upon us as a church, you know, to go. And one thing that he said was that for each of us to meditate on that word and to seek the Lord concerning what it means for us specifically. How many remember that? Yeah. So it's our year of go, and there's a corporate dimension to it in which we are all going. But he also challenged us to seek the Lord for a word from God to say, what does the year of go mean for me personally? And you know, Mary and I, you know, we did that and we spent some time, and it was amazing what God did, what God spoke to our hearts, because we both, you know, got given the same scripture. Isn't that great when it works like that? But you know, that was the Lord speaking to us clear, and I want to minister out of the overflow of some of that to us today. But you know, the Bible says that with the measure, I think it's Mark 4:24, it says, take heed or be careful what you hear. Because with the measure of thought and study, the Amplifier says that you give to what you hear, it will be measured back to you again. Amen? And so it's so important for us to take the word of God, take heed what we hear, and put thought and study into the word that you hear. The Bible says to you who hear will even more be given. Amen? So will more besides be given. And so it's a key thing for us. You know, I just think that, you know, this scripture, the Bible, we've had it for centuries. Men have studied it from Genesis to Revelation. And you know what? We haven't even scratched the surface of the revelation of God. The Bible says, oh, the depth and the height and the length and the breadth of the love of God. You know, this Bible is God's love story to us, to mankind. Amen. You know, the Bible says God is love. And so there are so many nuggets found in the Word of God that it'll take eternity and eternity and eternity for us to fully explore. In fact, I don't think we can fully explore, fully mine all the wealth, all the revelation that is in the Word of God. The Bible says that all Scripture is God-breathed, is given by the inspiration of God, and it is what? It is profitable. Everyone say profitable. Profitable. So it is profitable to study and meditate the word of God. It says for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction of righteousness, that the man of God, that the woman of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. Thoroughly furnished. And so, you know, that's the heart of God for each and every one of us. Jeremiah says that God watches over his word to perform it. So whose word is it? It's God's word, but he's given it to who? He's given it to us, he's given it to you, and he's given it to me. And he says he watches over that word to perform it in your life. That's Jeremiah 1:12. So God watches over his word so that he can perform it in your life. And that's the heart of God for each and every one. But I was saying, you know, the year of go. And so we began to meditate and I say, Lord, and seek the Lord to say, Lord, what does it mean for us? What does it mean for Mary, for myself, for us as a family? What's your word to us? And God gave us a scripture, and it's found in the book of Philippians and chapter 3. And I want us to go there. But, you know, he said three things to me. even before I opened that place. He said, go. He says, son, Temi. He said, go for gold. I thought, wow. He said, go for gold. Turn to your neighbor and say, go for gold. You know, in the athletics, in the Olympics, in any race at all, you know, there are normally three top prizes, aren't there? There's the gold and the bronze. Which is the best?
Gold.
It's gold. Sounds like God, doesn't it? Some of you uncle, I said, it sounds like God, doesn't it? Yeah. See, God's not going to tell you to, you know, go for bronze. Maybe, you know, maybe you'll get it. You know, just do your best. God said to me, he said, go for gold. Go for gold. This year in Harvest Church, I believe that God wants us to go for gold, to go for best, for his highest, for his utmost. Amen. God is challenging you right now. If you've never seen yourself as a champion, as a winner, as an overcomer, God is challenging you today to go for gold all the way to the top. Amen? And that's the word that God gave me. He said, go. He said, son, go for gold. And so we've said that we're going to go for gold this year. So that's the first thing he said. And then he said to me, he said, son, number two, don't settle for seconds. Don't settle for second best. You know, and as we read, we'll understand this a bit more. But you know, there's a natural temptation. I think the way God showed it to me, he said it was like the devil had stolen something from you. He's speeding away in a car. And you're chasing, you're in hot pursuit. And you know, he starts offloading some of the stuff. He starts throwing out the window. It's thinking that, you know, you'll be tempted to slow down, to stop and pick that up. To stop and pick up what is chucked out. But God is saying, pursue, overtake, and recover all. Amen. So he said to me, he said, so don't settle for seconds. And third, he said to me, he said, press on for the prize. You know what happens when the person who's in front breasts the tape in the athletics race? You know, he gets the cup. You know, he's declared the champion. And you've all seen them on TV. How they, you know, how many have seen that? Yeah. He does that thing. Did I do it right? Check it out. Let's do it for the camera. He says, go for gold. He says, press for the prize. Let's begin in Philippians chapter 3 and the 12th verse. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12. Not that I have now attained, not that I have now attained this ideal or have already been made perfect. Not that I have already attained or have already been made perfect. You know, the first thing that God said to me about that verse, said it speaks about attitude. What was Paul's attitude? Right. It was the attitude of a champion. He says, not that I have already attained or have already been made perfect. God said, what's your attitude? When God says to you, go for gold, that's great. But what's your attitude about that? You see, it's the opposite, he said, of being complacent. You see, complacent, you can feel there's a false sense of satisfaction, ignoring the possibility that there might be danger lurking around the corner. Amen? You see, attitude equals altitude. You see, your attitude, the attitude of a champion. I remember in some of those tough times that Pastor Paul was talking about, and I remember speaking to him and he said, do you know that feedback, positive feedback, is the breakfast of champions? Amen? What's your attitude? What's your attitude about where you're going to? When God tells you to go for gold, then you can't have a lazy attitude. You can't have a negative attitude. You can't have a can't do attitude. You must have a can-do attitude. Amen. The Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The Bible says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. More than conquerors. Not just conquerors, but more than conquerors through him, Christ Jesus, who loved us. And so attitude is so key and is so important. And so Paul says, not that I have already attained. So my attitude is not that I've arrived yet. You see, each one of us is a work in progress. It's not over till it's over. Some say it's when the fat lady sings. I say it's when God says it's over. Amen. In the fiery furnace, when those three Hebrew boys were in there in the midst of it, it wasn't over. In fact, before they went in, before they were thrown in, they boasted that even if God doesn't deliver us, we're not changing our minds. There was a confidence, there was an attitude that they had. And so we need to have the right attitude. Amen? It's so key and it's so important. Put that verse back up there. Praise God. And so, not that I've already attained or have already been made perfect, but I do what? I press. You know, I was meditating on that word, press, pressure. You know, it's an urgency. Everyone say urgency. Urgency. It's placing an urgency on the word of God. It means to apply pressure. You know, I love the way one preacher put it one time. He said, put your foot. See, it means to apply pressure with a weight. It says, put your foot on the devil's neck. Amen. Amen? That's where our feet should be. The Bible said, where's the devil, by the way? Where is he? Under our feet. The devil is under our feet. And so we tread on top of him. You know, it's your covenant right as a child of God to walk on the devil's head. What was that sermon that Pastor Paul preached? The devil wears what? You know? Well, the ladies are saying Prada. I think Paul has some Gucci shoes on. Basically, Primark even. Exactly. Amen. Praise God. And I'm sure 100 million people all marching in Primark gear will say yes to that. Amen. But you know, we need to put pressure on the devil. You know, one of those definitions is to make him feel uncomfortable, to get him in a place where he's boxed in. You see, we have, where are we seated? We're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's where we are. And where's the devil? The devil is underneath. You're seated above, the devil is underneath. Guess who's got the whip hand? Guess who's got the advantage? We have. And so every single one of us, so, you know, we're never to feel sorry for ourselves. We're never to have a pity party because we know that we overwhelmingly conquer. Amen. Give God praise. We overwhelmingly conquer in all things. So it means to apply pressure. It means to put the devil under pressure. You know, I remember the story of Ziklag when David came back and he found that the city had been burnt down. He found that the women and children had been taken captive and taken away. And even his own companions who were with him, they said they began to weep until they had no more tears to weep. I ever cried like that? You know, think things are bad. They cried until they had no more tears to cry out. And then they thought about stoning David. And the Bible says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. And he sought the face of the Lord. You know, it's a good time to seek the Lord. Amen. So you don't need to wait until you're in trouble. But the Bible says that David sought the Lord's face. And he asked, he said, shall I pursue? What should I do, Lord? And the word of the Lord came back to him and said, pursue, overtake, and recover all. I want to say to someone here today, to pursue, to overtake, and to recover all that the devil has stolen. Amen. You need to take your goods back off the devil. Whether it's health, you need to take health back off the devil. Whether it's wealth, you need to take wealth back off the devil. Amen. I love that song that Jesse sings, Me and the Devil Had a Tussle. Yeah, we sang that in the prayer meeting one night. Me and the devil had a tussle, but I won. Me and the devil had a tussle, but I won. Me and the devil, we don't agree. I hate the devil and the devil hates me. Me and the devil had a tussle. Me and the devil had a tussle. Me and the devil had a tussle. But I won. Amen. Hallelujah. So we need to put that sucker back in his box. Amen. And stamp on the devil's head. Can I have verse 13 up there, please? But listen to this. Paul says, I do not consider, brethren, that I have captured and made my own yet. But one thing I do. Everyone say one thing. One thing I do. He says, this is my one aspiration. Forgetting what lies behind. Everyone say forgetting. You see, the past, you see, this is a trick the devil plays or tries to play again and again to bring up your past, to remind you of the past. You know what? The past, guess where it belongs? In the past. You see, the past is an event in the past. Amen. Failure is an event in the past. Amen. See, if you don't let it, if you don't permit it, it can't do anything to you right now in your presence. But you see, the devil, he tries to dig up stuff. You know, have you heard that expression? Politicians use it a lot. They try to dig up dirt on people, particularly on people of the other party. They kind of send spies in to dig up some dirt. What have we got on this guy? You know, corrupt police officers do the same thing. What have we got on this guy? But no one like that here. Digging up dirt. The devil is an expert at digging up the past and trying to wave it in front. The Bible calls him the accuser of the brethren. In fact, it says he accuses the brethren before God day and night. That's what he's busy doing. Busy trying to accuse you. Busy trying to dig up dirt on you. But the Bible says that, you know, that we have been washed in the precious blood of the Lamb. Not with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but by the precious blood of the Lamb. Amen? How many blood-washed, blood-bought Christians do we have in this house today? Praise God. Amen. Amen. Every single one of us washed in the precious blood of the Lamb. And so the devil has nothing on us. You know, he can't find any dirt to dig up on us. So forgetting the things that are behind, and listen to this bit, but straining forwards to what lies ahead. Straining forwards. You know, I remember this message, and I think it was Prophet Nana that preached it. He said, faith is a fight, isn't it? The Bible says straining forwards. You think, you see, it's not just a casual stroll forward. It's not a stroll in the park. But the Bible says straining forwards. Why are we straining? Because the natural realm, the natural environment in which we live, you see, the devil lies to us. Your circumstances will lie to you. Your situations will lie to you. You see, the world around you will lie to you. The devil will tell you that you can't make it. The devil tries to tell you that it's over, that the fat lady has already sung before you even got started, that it's over, that you're finished. But the psalmist says, rejoice not against me, O mine enemy, for when I fall, I shall arise. Amen. The Bible says the righteous get up seven times. The Bible says he falls on, but he gets up seven times. What happens the eighth time? What? Anyone? Any answers? What happens the eighth time if he falls again an eighth time? He gets up again. Amen. He gets up again. Absolutely. Absolutely. And so we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And so there is a boldness on the inside of us. And I want to share this testimony. Because, you know, come the end of 2014, last year, towards the end, you know, in fact, I'll rewind a bit. Because right from the beginning of the year, the Lord has said to me that, you know what, you know, we're all kind of believing God for different things and saying, yes, God, I'm going to do this and do that and have this and have the other and, you know, progress. You want to go forward in every dimension. And I remember in 2013, the church blessed us with a wonderful car that was, so how many can remember that? And it's parked up outside, and it was such a tremendous blessing. And then in 2014, it came to my heart. The Lord said, you know what? My old beat-up car, my second little car that we call our runaround, I said, I want to change that as well. And God said, yeah, go for it. And, you know, as the year wore on, it looked like it wasn't going to happen. And I thought, wow. But come November, I actually spoke to my neighbor at home, my next door neighbor, and his thing is that, you know, he's actually a nurse, a mental health nurse, but cars is his thing. So he loves to tinker with cars. He's almost what you call a self-styled mechanic. And so he fixes cars in his spare time, and he's always got a different car in his drive that he's fixing, that he's working on, that he's doing something to it. And I said to him earlier on there, I said, Ram, whenever you get a new car, I know you've got sources. You have your ways of how you can get, you know, great cars at great value. And so the next one you get, this is what I want. I want a small car. I don't want a Merc or a Jag. Not yet. I do, but not yet. I said, get me one of those little cars because I need it as a second car to run around in. This is the family car. That's great. But we need a small one. And I need it to be a 1.2 liter engine or thereabouts, 1 point something. So easy on the fuel, cost effective, good condition, not beat up or broke or anything like that. All of those things. And he said, okay. He said, yeah, fine. I'll be on the lookout for you. And then one day I got home from work. And shortly after, just before dinner, there was a knock on the door, and I went to the door, and it was my neighbor, and he said, I've got something for you. Come and see it. So I came out, went and had a look, and there in his drive was this beautiful blue Honda Jazz. Nice one. One, is the Pastor Paul says, Jazz fun. Amen. And the usual stuff. One careful driver, lady owner, well looked after, full service history, all the trimmings, full, you know, MOT'd, taxed, everything. I thought, wow, this is great. I said, yep, I'll take it. But not just yet. I'm kind of not quite ready financially just yet. So give me till the end of the year, and this is November now, and I said, give me till the end of the year, and we'll pick it up. And that'll be like, we'll celebrate the new year with this new ride. And come the end of the year, things were still like pretty tight. So I was like, and I was like, is this going to happen? Can I do this? And I just remember one evening, and I said to him, do you know what, I need a little bit more time. This looks like, with Christmas and all the other things going around, maybe I can't quite squeeze it in. Maybe we'll need to make it January. Are you listening? Yes. Is it okay to be real, just to say the way that things are? Yeah. And so I said, maybe January. We'll do this in January. And, you know, there was a part of me that I just so wanted to have that as a testimony in 2014. You know, you kind of want to fit it in and just tuck that one in there. Just a nice end to there that, yes, I got my testimony. I got what I wanted from the Lord. And so at the end of the year, it just didn't happen. And then come the beginning of January, he started to say to me that, you know what? People are asking him about this car in his drive. You know, it's been there a while. All his friends are driving by and think, wow, this is a nice car. Listen, we'll offer you this much, but he says, we'll take it off you right now. Look, here's the cash. And he said, you know, the Bible says that God has blessed the righteous and surrounded him with favor as with a shield. And so he said, He said to his friend, he said, you know what? He said, I've given this man, my friends, my word. And I can't let this car go because I've given my word. But I knew that it was the favor of God upon my life. You know, God's favor, I have walked and enjoyed the favor of God in so many different areas. And I could give you testimony after testimony after testimony of the favor of God that I have received and enjoyed. And so in this situation, he said, no, I can't give this car away because I have already committed. My word is my bond, and I've committed it to my friends, my neighbor, and I'm going to give it to him. And so that was it. And that just sealed it for me. But I knew that it was the favor of God that kept that thing locked in. Faith is a fight. You see, and we fight at different levels and different areas. For some people, it's like, oh, it's no problem. For others, it's like a struggle. But you know what? I want to encourage you today that, you know, I'm living proof of the goodness and of the blessing and of the favor of God. But I said, God is no respecter of persons. Amen. I said, God is no respecter of persons. What God does for one, he will do for all. So to anybody who trusts him or who takes him at his word, Bible says God is watching over, it's his word, to perform his word in your life. And so what is God saying to you? Is it in the area of your health? You see, I've had health issues myself, but God has been faithful. So I can remember, you know, being in the hospital, and it was like, Pastor Paul came, I remember, and, you know, and prayed for me. And as I lay down, and this was the most amazing thing, as I lay down one morning, it was, and one of my legs was just like, just felt like jelly. And I was laid up, and the word of the Lord came to my mind again in that moment. And it's amazing, just to be able to curl your toes like that. You ever do that? Just fold your toes, or you feel a cramp in your toes and you want to stretch it, or maybe they're curling one way and you want to bend it the other way or something. And just the efforts to curl your toes, just to squeeze your toes, that was a huge effort. That was a huge deal for me at that time, just in one leg. And I did that. I just focused and I said, Lord, I thank you because by the stripes of Jesus Christ, I am healed. And I curled my toes. I tell you, God is my witness. Strength hit me right there in the bed in the hospital. And I just swung my legs over the side of the bed, and I jumped up, and I just began to walk. They had already given me a walking stick. Yeah. Imagine that. I said, no, I reject that. They'd already given me a walking stick in the hospital, give me some physio and said, this is how you step, this is how you walk with it. I'm gone through all of that. But right there in the same hospital, the Spirit of the Lord, you know, just came upon me, and I knew that I had strength. And I got out of bed. I was the only patient in that ward who used the showers. It was wonderful for me. It was mint, it was new, it was nice. I thought, wow, that's a nice shower. Because average age there was about 70. Nobody used the bathroom. Everyone had bedpans. The place reeked. And I thought, Lord, I'm a celebrity. I shouldn't be here. Lord, I'm your son. That's right, Bruce. Lord, I'm your son. So next day I was up, I was out. They said, well, but you can't go, you can't, should you? I said, I'm leaving today. I said, I'm okay now. They said, well, the pharmacist has to give you a medication, has to sign you off. I said, I'm leaving today. I have to go now. I got to go. I got places to go. And then I began to minister to other patients. And I said to one lady, I said, what's wrong with you? And she said, oh, I've had 5 operations on my brain, you know. I've got a stent put in here. I've got this there and the other. And I said, wow. I said, can I pray for you? And I prayed for her, and I led her to the Lord. And I thought, well, glory to Jesus. Yeah. And I said, Lord, this is it. this is what I'm about. The Bible said they shall lay their hands and they shall recover. Amen. And so I was about my father's business right there in the hospital. And then I said to the nurse guy, I said, I've got to go now. I said, I've got to go. And so to cut a long story short, by about 4 or 5 p.m. that evening, I was home. In my own house, amen, putting up my feet, praise God, praise Jesus. But God is faithful. I want to say that God is faithful. And so he said, press on. This one thing I do, a singular focus, forgetting those things that are behind and pressing, straining forward to those things that are ahead, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. And that needs to be the prayer of every single one of us here, that we have, as long as there is life in our bodies, you know, we need to lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of us. Ronke was right. Every single one of us is called to minister the gospel. Amen. Otherwise, God would have taken us home as soon as we got saved. But we're left here for a purpose. Paul understood his purpose. Paul said, I've been shipwrecked. I've been beaten with rods. I've had so many terrible things happen to me. But still, he said, I press on. I press towards the mark for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The call of God is a high calling. Amen. The call to serve him. The call to live your life out for him. Paul said this, I want to die empty. I want to be poured out like, or I'm being poured out like a drink offering. Like it's the last drop in the bottle. Just shaking that last drop out. And so I want to die empty. I want to give all that I have to give, all that God has called me to give, amen, to this nation, to this world, amen, to the planet. And so do you. Shall we stand to our feet? Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Straining forwards. God said, go for gold. This year, every single one of us, God wants us to go for gold. God wants you to forget the past. Forget the past mistakes. Forget the past failures. Forget the past things that haven't worked. And strain forward. The Amplified says to grasp, to lay hold of, or to grasp. And I want to say, grasp it with your faith. Set your face like flint in the direction that God is calling you. It's an upward call. It's the high calling of God to be and to do and to become all that he has called you to be and to do and to become. Father, we bless you today. Father, we thank you for your great love. We thank you, Heavenly Father, because of Jesus, we will never be the same. Father, we thank you for every divine encounter that we have with you. Because, Father, continually you are changing us from glory to glory. Father, we thank you, Lord, because, Lord, you are the one who has taken us out from where we were. Father, your word said that eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things that you have prepared for those who love you. Father, we love you. Father, we bless you today. Father, Lord, today we receive your word, Father. Lord, we declare to the circumstances and the situations around our lives, we declare that we are more than conquerors through Jesus who loved us. We declare that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We declare that we are the head and not the tail. We declare that we are above only and not beneath. We declare that we are the lenders to many nations and not the borrowers. We declare that we always having all sufficiency in all things have an abundance for every good work and abundance for every good work. Father, we bless you. We give you the praise. We give you the glory. We give you the honor in Jesus' mighty name. And his people said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah.